Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. And if you missed it, you've got to catch the first hour. The first hour today is just so, gives you a perspective of hope. You don't have to worry. You don't have to worry anymore. Joining me in the extra hour is the producer of VFN Radio program, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
John Ramos.
Good morning.
And Chris is going to be joining us.
Good morning.
It's going to be so exciting to hear about the citizenship test today. Get to get the next few questions on the citizenship test that Pat and John will be taking. It is so important. When so many people are worried, so many people are projecting and prognosticating things you need to worry about. And you, listen, our God is in control. Listen to the second part of the first hour and you're going to be blessed. Don't worry. Be a God chaser. Quit chasing the economy and start chasing God. We got so many things. We're going to be talking about some abiding moments in the extra hour. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host. Extra hour, by the way. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. And joining me is Pat, John, and Chris.
Hello, hello.
Oh, my goodness. Here we are. Was that not a great, great first hour? I mean, it's an encouraging word, isn't it, from the Lord? Just so encouraging to know that our God is in control and we don't have to worry. Mm-hmm. And if you have, I'm telling you, you need to go and listen. If you haven't listened to the first hour, you didn't get to join, go back and listen to the first hour and be encouraged. We're going to have to put things into perspective because things are going to increase, but you don't have anything to be worried about if you are a God chaser. If you're a person that seeks after the kingdom of God, the king's dominion over you, and you're walking as a disciple of Jesus and just trusting him who provides for every aspect of our life. And it's just an exciting thing to see what God, I mean, he foretold all this is taking place. Every bit of this is taking place. And we know that he did all this at this point. He took care of everything to this point. We can just trust him all the way. All the way. And to be absent from this life is to be present with him forever in eternity. Also, don't miss also the first part of the first hour. You're not going to believe this, but some people live on the left side of the butt, and some people live on the right side of the butt. Listen, you want to make sure, you got to find out more about this, but it's just so important to understand what people are telling you, and don't fall for the flattery, and don't live in the flattery, because that's a net at people's feet. If they have a butt, B-U-T, if they have a butt, forget what was said on the left side of the button. Focus on the right side of the button because that's what they truly believe. That's what they truly believe. Nothing that people say on the left. I mean, you got to listen to the first part of the first hour and just understand this. But it's important because so many people say so many wonderful things on the left side of the butt, the conjunction that's going to connect them to their true beliefs that's on the right side of the butt. And then and they have the fruit in their life about what happens on the right side of the butt, what they said after the butt. But they're confused in their own mind because they're convinced, since I said what was right on the left side, that it doesn't matter what I said after the butt. Mm-hmm. But their fruit kind of says differently, doesn't it?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just really encouraged as we're going to get to share about, you know, some abiding moments. And, you know, Pat, what's God laying on your heart, man?
Well, I was reading in Galatians this morning, and I know you guys probably don't have any issues with this at all. I mean, you guys are perfect.
Probably not.
When I was reading Galatians,
only you.
It says, you, my brothers, you are called to be free, but not you. Do not use your freedom to indulge in your sinful nature. He says, rather, was serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. And of course, you know, what jumped out to me was, you know, he says, you know, the entire law is summed up in this entire one thing, to love one another.
Wow.
You know, and I'm obviously...
What about the other stuff,
all,
Todd? The other things don't count.
I know, right? Come on. What about the other stuff I do?
Yeah, I work so hard for you. Yeah. Some people just get in my way.
I know, right? I know. Anyway, we won't talk about him. He says, I love God, but man, these people I just can't stand. You know, later on in that scripture, he talks about, you know, what the fruit of the Spirit is.
You don't say that. It's actually other people. You're quoting somebody else, right?
It was somebody else.
Yeah, okay.
It was somebody else.
And you love people.
Of course I love people.
He's a all very he is more loving today than he was before he got saved. It's amazing his transformation.
Yes,
I mean, if you knew how he didn't love before he was saved. A long story, won't go there.
Absolutely.
He's like walking.
One day we can.
That's very good. We need to definitely take notes for that. We need to bring that up.
Yes, we did.
It's a beautiful transition.
Anyway.
Manya.
Oh my God.
Come back.
The testing of your faith. Perseverance. But, you know, of course, the fruit of the Spirit, obviously the main one is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control.
That's your resume, isn't it?
Of course.
Of course.
And Jesus says, he says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you're my disciple if you love one another.
It's not your Jesus pen then?
No. And it's not a suggestion. He said this is a command.
What about if you have a bumper sticker and a Jesus pen? All right. What if you attend church, your church gathering like 20 times a week?
Exactly.
Oh, man.
You mean that you got to love somebody?
It's not the Jesus pen.
It's not the Jesus pen, man. I wasted all that money.
So obviously, you know, love is pretty important in God's kingdom. Yeah. He's very serious about it. Matter of fact, he says it's a command. It's not a suggestion.
Then he even says that he is love.
And he is love, correct.
So if we don't love, we don't God.
So, well, what is this love thing? You know, and I know what it is. You know, God tells you what it is. You know, he says it's love is patient. Am I patient?
That's John.
Although John's patient. He's got the gift.
He's very patient.
He was telling me about it this morning.
As he's saying, hurry up.
Love is kind.
Bullet points. Like, right. I'm just trying to put your eggs on the plate. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, right. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. Not easily angered. Anyway. Keeps no record of wrongs. Does not delight in evil.
Do you remember the time?
Times.
You know. So, you know, I'm like, okay, God. I understand. I need to work on this because
Which one?
All of them. All of them.
Ooh, my goodness.
And what it boils down to is, you know, love has nothing to do with self. It's not this ooey gooey feeling. It's actually a verb. It's something that you do.
Oh,
and it has nothing
to
do with you, believe it or not.
Isn't that amazing?
Ooh.
Totally amazing.
Because this is one of the signs of the end days, that men will be lovers of themselves.
Absolutely.
Rather than lovers of others or lovers of God, right?
Yep. And that the love will grow cold
when it comes to others.
That's right. And I remember we talked about this a few weeks ago about we can get so caught up in our day-to-day lives that, you know, because we're so busy, we got this, I got that to do, and we forget about relationships and how important that is. But yet, God, I love you. Look what I'm doing. You know, all this stuff.
Check that. Check.
Check. Check. Check. Check. Check.
Check. Check. Check. But oh, yeah. I love y'all. Check.
But love wasn't love wasn't on the top of my list, apparently.
Right.
And
God wasn't on top of your list?
It's the word of God. That's what it says.
It. Oh, we call God it.
No, that's what the word of God, it, not God.
Isn't he love?
Help me out. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, and you're right. God is love, and we can't say we love God, but we don't love our brothers. God calls you a liar.
Yeah.
And
wow.
Which, that's a pretty serious charge.
Being called a liar by God is huge.
And he said it several times. You know, it's a command. He even says it in 1 John.
Mm.
So, obviously, God's saying love to me. Because I know that's obviously, it's not my love, but it needs to be more of a priority. You know, you got to take the time. You got to put yourself aside. You know, that's the only way it's going to happen is you got to be thinking about others other than yourself.
Yeah.
The two don't go together.
Yeah, part of the greatest form of love is focusing on the other person.
Exactly.
At the risk of forgetting about yourself.
Exactly. Mm. And that's what it takes.
It does.
You can't be thinking about yourself and others too. They just don't mix.
And part of healing me
is hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and just you know, listening to somebody. And what's so cool is that the enemy tries to take that and put that as a low priority. And it's not that important. But once you put it where it really belongs, at the very top of God's priority, you know, Jesus would come around and say, what can I do for you?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and he would listen to them, and they would share their pain. My daughter, myself, my son, you know, this is going on, that's going on, and he would move in that aspect of it.
Right. He was moved with compassion.
He was moved with compassion. And if we don't ever listen to someone, then we don't have compassion, because compassion is empathizing with somebody,
right,
feeling their pain, but then doing something about it. Mm-hmm. And what happens if we don't listen, then we just kind of like do something out of our head. This is what goes next. It's like, but you're not connecting with me. And, and part of it. It's so cool, though, because we can do it. It's just we got to say everything else we thought was important is not as important as what we thought wasn't important.
Right. It's all about priorities.
And spending time with people, you know, putting your hand on somebody's shoulder and looking them in the eye and saying what's going on, you know, taking them out to lunch, maybe.
Yeah. Getting out of task mode.
Yeah. Flying up and visiting a friend up north, you know, doing something like right. golf.
Or coming down to the beaches and the golf or something of that nature.
Yeah.
I can't.
It's funny you're saying.
Was all self-interest and love.
Right? Yeah, right.
I guess he's not going to date me to lunch.
I guess that's out of the question.
But, you know, it's amazing how we can not, you know, you're saying, you know, love is should be on the forefront. But it's amazing how these things open up to different areas. I was actually, you know, bringing the word. And
I got to say something. You know, Chris is totally involved in what he's going to say. He's not even listening to us. He's looking at his notes. he's nowhere near his mic. Like he's going to say something. Like he's involved in our conversation. I'm feeling kind of, you know, just a little unheard.
I'm not feeling love right now.
I'm not feeling the love right now. I want him to, you know.
Well, Chris,
I love you, man.
Okay. There you go. Check.
Got it. I was reading in Psalms, and I thought this was really good. Psalms 19, verses 12 to 13. It says, "Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant from sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgressions." And it's like, wow, you know, case in point, could forgive me for not loving, you know, Lord, because you can get so caught up thinking that you're loving or you're doing things the right way, the way God wants you to do them. And you realize when you really, you know, take a view of your life and in your heart, you realize, wait a second, where is the love? Where is love? Which just really underscores the importance of what we've been talking about for a long time on the radio program, which is an abiding relationship with the Lord and the importance for the church as family. You know what I'm saying? Who can discern his errors? Jeremiah says 17:9, that our heart's deceitfully wicked, no man can know it. But as believers, we're called to grow in God. We're called to have a relationship with the Lord. We're called to grow in maturity. We're not supposed to be stagnant and just, oh, humdrum or lukewarm.
Right.
We're supposed to be hot for God and grow with God.
Right.
And you think about it, only 19% are actually reading the Word of God.
Yeah.
How are they ever going to discern their errors?
Right. Only 3% of those are concerned about what it actually says.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's all according to George Barna. Yeah. When you think about even the Lord, when he taught us how to pray, he says, "And Lord, forgive everyone else." No, he says, "Lord," he says, "This is how we're supposed to pray. Lord, forgive me, like I forgive others."
That's right.
Think about that. Lord, love me the way I love others. And it quite often is, you know, that we perceive God loves us the way we love others, but He loves us despite us.
Mm-hmm.
But we define His love by how we love.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense? Mm-hmm. You know, how we think, we think through our own mind. We're using our own mind as a mold of God's love. And it's like, no, He is love. He's awesome. And while we were yet sinners, He loved us. But we define, you can have a parent that's loving a child, but the child says, "I don't feel love." It's like, you know, what else can we do? I mean, you know, and you're pouring everything on your children. But they can perceive it. They can believe a lie.
Yep.
And we can believe a lie about that. And yeah, it's good, man. Love.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Very important.
So we'll just be watching you walk this out. And we're excited about it. And I'm sure there's some listeners out there, you know, that, so I guess that means instead of saying come to the north, they're going to send a ticket down to bring me up.
Right.
And, I'm just looking for, that's what we're all looking for, is love, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we didn't know the Lord. We were looking to find fulfillment in anything and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I mean, even in drugs, right?
Right.
Okay, Chris came to the mic for that one there.
He woke up.
So, I mean, think about it. So, I mean, what's God laying on your heart, John? Oh, that's awesome, Pat, you know, what you're sharing there, and it's so true. And we all need help in that, in those areas. And as long as we're here on this earth, we're going to be challenged in the fruit of the Spirit.
That's right.
In love, you know. And, you know, love keeps no records of wrongs. And that includes, by the way, keeping no records of your own wrongs. Because if you've asked God to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, he does it.
Yeah.
And so part of loving God is letting go of what he let go of.
Sometimes it's even harder at times.
Yeah. But part of loving God is trusting his word to be true.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and sometimes, a lot of times, people are not hating on you. They're hating on themselves, and you're just getting caught in a downwind of their self-hate.
Right.
And they're not, you know, they're just hating themselves. They're self-haters. And if we're made in the image and the likeness of God, and God, if we've made things right with the Lord, then we got to say, it's right. I'm going to live my life as a forgiven man, forgiven woman, and I'm in right standing with God, and walk around with your head up and your shoulders up and confident in faith that God has set you free. Isn't that cool?
Very good.
John, what's God laying on your heart?
Awesome. Actually, I just started, I was talking about a little bit before as we were just talking about love, but just that, you know, that Psalms 19:12 through 13 that I just read, that, you know, in order for us to be able to discern our errors and you know, we ask the Lord to forgive our hidden faults, that, you know, it's imperative that we have an abiding relationship. It's important that we have an abiding relationship, and for the church to be the church, which is family. Without it, we're not going to be able to know what God is saying to us. When you think about it, Pat, you're abiding. It's because you were abiding and spending time with the Lord that the Lord revealed, wow, you know, there's an area of love, you know, that maybe you're looking in your own heart. We're all looking. You just shared it now. It's like, wait a second, I need to inspect and see if there's love in my life.
Right.
And we need to take, when we're abiding, we're spending time to read God's word. We're spending time to, taking time to pray, you know, but prayer is not just talking to God. It's listening. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's listening to what he has to say to us, about us, for us, and for others. And if we don't take that time to abide, how is the Lord going to reveal to us those things? And
abiding, you know, you're really just talking about just spending time with God in his word. Praying, listening, and just applying, you know, what he's telling us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Psalm 139:23 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So it's like, you know, the church has to get back to God, search our hearts. You know, search me. I want to be in right standing with you. And abiding allows us to have a God consciousness of God. It allows us to grow in the fear of the Lord.
You think about it, John, that if we aren't confident in God's love for us and understand his viewpoint of us, we're kind of shaky about saying, search our heart. Are you going to hurt me? Are you going to criticize me, God? Are you going to put me down? When we say, you know, search me. And it's being confident in God's love. Like Pat was saying, if we know how much God loves us, we'll say, you know, we'll open ourselves wide open and say, God, just... whatever, I know that your ways towards me are good. Your ways towards me are good. And that I'm willing to open my heart. But if I have issues with love, I don't open myself up. You know, if I'm thinking God's judging me and he's condemning me, you know, the last thing you want to do is like, okay, here's, you know, beat me up.
Right. That's why we need a healthy perspective on God's love and God's love for us. You know, that's essential. It's the beginning of our relationship with God, is knowing that he loves us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Because we were away from God, he was willing to rescue us from where we were at. And that's an essential part, because if we have a wrong perspective of the Father's love, then we're, even our abiding time is going to be skewed, and we'll not even abide. Because we're going to feel that God's word is going to condemn us, and he didn't come to condemn us. But the other part of this, be able to discern our ways, I feel, is that when the church functions as family, when we realize that the church is brothers and sisters and spiritual fathers, where we may not be able to discern an error, where we may not be able to discern a place in our own life, and we may miss it, when we function as family, family will tell you. You know what I'm saying? Family will help you to say, What about this? Or what about that? Have you looked at this? And, you know, it's so important. The word of God says, you know, as iron sharpens iron, so one brother sharpens another, you know. And when we function in this capacity, we're able to be there for each other. And there's nothing like developing loving relationships amongst the church. That's why the church is family. You can't survive outside of family. I always say if we have God and family, we can make it through anything. But it's the love of the family. It's the love of brothers and sisters standing together in the gap for each other where we're able to grow and mature as believers and mature in our walk with God. In fact, Ecclesiastes 4:10 says, but pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. And that's essential. You know, together we can make it through this. Abiding with God and functioning as the church, we'll figure it out. We'll grow in the knowledge of him. We'll grow in the fear of the Lord. And we'll grow to the place where we can say, oh, God, look, I see this in my life. I can get this out of my life.
That is so true. That is so true. Well, we'll be right back in just a moment. If you have not yet thought about, if you haven't thought about going to the next level in God, meaning going, learning more about God, diving into the depths of what God has for you. Listen, the Great Commission is not the great suggestion, no matter what anybody's told you. And we do answer alone, no witnesses, no suspects before the throne of God. But despite all that, you're called and designed by God. You've been given a certain measure of talents to invest in his kingdom, to be able to bring an interest, a dividend back to the king. What does that mean? Sowing your life and what God's given you into other people. If that's you, do you feel like you have a call on your life? A call on your life, and you need to see, I don't know what to do or how to do it. And what I see right now, what's happening seems kind of hard to do. They're talking like $1.3 million building projects and $1.3 million per baptized believer in the church in America. They're talking about, I said, how can I do it? Listen, that's just all religion. Be at peace. It's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be. Simple fishermen can obey God. Find out more today at Vine Fellowship Network University. Go to vfnu.org. vfnu.org. John, do you know the VFN TV app is out, right? I think it's 4.0, man.
4.0.
That is so cool. And they're doing a wonderful job at designing it and putting it together. And yes, everything that we're saying and doing is available now on the VFN TV app. All you got to do is go to your app store, type in VVictor, VFN TV, and it just shows up. Or you can go to VFNTV.com and click on the appropriate store, whichever one you actually have your phone with. But it's so important. You can listen to highlights. You can listen to the programs. You can listen to us live. We're live 24/7, 7 days a week. And some encouraging words, any prophetic words that are coming out, you know, God's news behind the news. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. Listen, get the app. It's totally free, by the way. Go to your app store and find it today. Just type in VFN TV. It'll pop up. Download it for free or go to VFNTV.com. You know, we're family. Did you know that? God has called us to be family. We're called to be the family of God. It's Father God. It's not like King God. It's Father God. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is our elder brother. Yes, he's our Lord and our Savior, but he's the firstborn. He's the head of the church. He's our elder brother. We are not, we're heirs of God, not heirs of Jesus. We're joint heirs with Jesus.
That's right.
We're family. We're sisters and brothers. That's what we're supposed to love each other. The family of God. I remember Jesus was sitting around with his disciples in a house, by the way, and he's teaching them about the things of God. Mm-hmm. And his biological mother, Mary, and brother comes to the house, and they're knocking on the outside of the door. And they said, and of course, they're talking to each other. Mary and her son's talking and says, oh, my goodness, Jesus has lost his mind. They really thought Jesus lost his mind.
That's right.
They lost his mind, and he hasn't eaten. He's been a long time since he's eaten. We need to go rescue him. We need to rescue him from his ministry because he's lost his mind. Don't you know this is supposed to happen in a temple, not in a house? And this goes on. And then Jesus, of all the things he said, this is very important, he said, you know, somebody comes out and said, yo, your mom was outside. You know? And yo, sir. No, yo, your mom's outside. And so Jesus stops and he pauses. He looks at the disciples and he's talking to them. And he says, listen, let me tell you who the family of God is. Mm. Let me tell you who my mother and my brother is. Those who do the will of my Father. Yes, oh, more than anything, you want your biological family to follow God. But the truth is, You have no control over them. You tell them the truth and you honor their decision. Listen, the true family of God is those who follow his teachings, that have a desire to follow Jesus. See, the church is a family. Get into your, right now where you're at, in your fellowship. Say, listen, we need to start being family.
Mm-hmm.
And if people just still relate to you like sand, like organizations, like an orphanage, you know, just get your food, sit down, shut up, don't know nobody. Listen, find a fellowship that functions as family. Maybe Vine Fellowship Network's for you. Maybe there's a church in your area. Maybe God has planted in your heart. So you know what? I want to begin this in my own city. Check it out. VineFellowshipNetwork.org, where we're loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same. You know, there's something about when you first get saved that the first thing that most people think about is like, there's nobody. There's nobody like me. And you're very thankful, you're grateful that God has forgiven you, but you're not sharing with anybody because you look at everybody else and you think, well, obviously all these folks are walking on water.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they talk about these, like, these books. They got the books memorized, you know. They got like this book of Malachi and, you know, Matthew and Jonathan, you know, whatever they are. And so, you know, they're just like, oh, my goodness. And the greatest thing that we can do for each other is to tell them our story.
That's right.
To let them know, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. People get hope when they find out you needed Jesus too.
That's right.
They get hope when they find out you're a sinner too, saved by grace, that God reached down in the depths of hell,
mm-hmm.
and darkness and just great calamity and all your attempts to find yourself. And he introduced his Father through himself to you when you got saved.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing your story. Everybody's got a story.
That's right.
And we share a few of them. We share a few of them with you at meetmyfather.org. Listen, the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. That's our purpose. And our ministry is to make the Father known to you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, get to know God through his awesome, awesome Son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet my Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. I want to thank you for everybody that's joining in on our Facebook. You know, you can get to it by going to VFNTV.com, or you can go to Facebook.com/VFNTV. It's easier to go to VFNTV and click on that. But think about it. It is so cool. Every day, no matter where you are, inside the community with over a billion people now, 1/6 of the world's population is in this particular community. Everybody's saying, you got a Facebook. We got a Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
We got a Facebook, and it's over, I don't know, it's over 5,000. It's just clicking up, and just you're joining us, and we're so excited about that because every day we're in communication. All the highlights that are on your VFNTV app, that's at VFNTV.com, is also on your Facebook, so it follows us everywhere we go. We got a virtual audience, a virtual stadium, if you would, that's being filled all around the world, and now we're in the Facebook community. Thank you. And if you have not yet, you know, go to our Facebook and like us. Go to Facebook.com/VFNTV and click on like. And what does that mean? When you do that, every post that goes out on our Facebook shows up on your Facebook every single day. So you can say, hey, that segment was about me. I want to be encouraged today. Maybe every day you listen to the Wisdom Moment. Maybe there's God's news behind the news and something's coming up that says, you know, I needed to know what God's perspective, the word is on that particular thing. Listen, this is the conversation that we're having together in the virtual audience of our Facebook. Go to VFNTV.com and click on our Facebook, or at VFNFacebook.com/VFNTV. The moment of wisdom. Every day we have a moment of wisdom. We want the wisdom of God. Really, what you're looking at in America right now, and what you're looking at a lot of the church is there's a lot of knowledge, there's a lot of teachers, mm-hmm. you know, but the wisdom comes with, you know, fathers, you know, have wisdom, you know, those, mm-hmm. you know, fathers in the Lord, and that you get it from the Word of God, spending time with God. Of all the things that Solomon could have asked for when he was chosen as David's son, as the third king of Israel,
mm-hmm.
the third.
He was the third.
And was,
give me wisdom on how to lead your people. Mm-hmm. And I encourage everyone that's listening, that's whether you're in a business, a Christian business owner, whether you're a father or a mother that's leading a family, you know, whether you are leading a congregation or a fellowship or a gathering of believers, you know, kind of knock everything off your list right now and cry out for wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
We need wisdom. We're about to lose this puppy.
Yeah.
You know, and if we lose this freedom, you know, we're going into bondage. We're going into captivity. Church is going to live. It's going to thrive. Matter of fact, it'll thrive. and we always said, whatever it takes to win the lost.
Mm-hmm.
And but it sure would be a waste that we have to be in a time of suffrage and bondage. Mm-hmm. The Ananias and Sapphira has to fall out before the fear of the Lord spreads.
Right.
And many people are won to the Lord. Isn't that amazing?
It is.
Ask for the wisdom and the fear of the Lord. So we talk about it every single day. And today is the 19th of the month. So we look at the 19th chapter of Proverbs, and it's 19:21. And what I'm going to talk about is the creator of the universe, Father God, he's pro-choice. He is pro-choice. Not pro-choice like people today are talking about pro-choice, but he's into you choosing.
Mm-hmm.
He does not choose for us. He always lays before us options. And so the proverb for today is Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purposes that prevail. Let me say it again. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purposes that prevail. I mean, think about it. God has given each of us freedom, but it's freedom to choose. It's freedom to choose. You know, actually, God is pro-choice. Not in the sense, of course, that we're talking about in America here, people talking about pro-choice means actually I can choose to take your life. That's not pro-choice. That baby didn't have a choice. That's not
right.
But God is obviously allowing you to choose to take that child's life.
Mm-hmm.
But pro-choice for each of us, his goal was to have pro-choice for each of us. His design is, not his goal, is for each of us to decide what we're going to do with this life that he's given us. What are we going to do with this life? What choices are we going to make in regards to us choosing to have a relationship with him through his son, Jesus Christ? And we think about it. For us who actually choose God through his son, Jesus Christ, it's a choice that we make. We're making a choice.
Right.
I mean, it's not forced upon. God does not force us to choose him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you see men, when they're religions, you'll see what they'll do. They're man-made religions, and they're perceived gods, and it's all about forcing people to be in compliance, and there's no choice.
Right.
You know, there's no choice. This is how it is. And we serve a God that says, you know, I put before you blessings and cursings. I put before you life and death. You choose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the sin nature, the flesh nature of us, you know, our flesh nature will just say, just make the choice for us.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's no relationship there. The relationship is when you choose every single day that you get up and you abide with God and you choose to follow him. You're making a choice to follow him. And that's a choice. He is pro-choice. He wants to see what you're going to do. Though he allows for circumstances to help give us contrast, if you would, mm-hmm. between the choices to help us make a better choice, he will not make the choice for us.
Right.
When you think about it, I mean, he will allow things. You'll consider hardship as discipline. God is treating you as a son. For what son is not disciplined? What son does not go through hardship?
Mm-hmm.
Yet, though God allows these hardships to come upon people or person or us, the hardship at some point is to be able to motivate us to decide what we're going to do. We need to make a choice. So many people are thinking that God's going to make the choice for them, and they're sitting back waiting on God. He's like, no.
Mm-hmm.
He's waiting for you. What choice are you going to make? I mean, think about it. When God placed Adam and Eve in the garden, he also placed, the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. God told them, don't eat from the tree of knowledge and good and evil. Mm-hmm. But he left the choice.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, Lord, please don't give me choices. I'm not always good with choices. I mean, Romans 17, You know, Paul's talking about, you said, when there's a choice before me and I make a good, my intentions are to choose the good thing. You know what I'm saying? He says, I end up choosing the wrong thing. What's wrong? A wretched man that I am. Yeah, and he talks about all that. He says, I choose the wrong. I find out the sense, you know. And so, but the whole thing is that, you know, he's going to wait and see what we're going to do. He waited to see God's, he waited to see this. He waited to see what Adam and Eve were going to do in the garden, because every day they didn't choose to eat from the knowledge of good and evil, the tree of that. They chose to have a relationship with him.
Right.
But he left a choice to them. Mm. He left a choice to them. Of course, they chose to eat from the tree of knowledge and good and evil. But yet, God's purposes were prevail today, because even though all men sinned by their fall in the garden, you know, every man failed, and the original sin was there so that sin could be utterly sinful. But by the time that he brings his son, Jesus, and we'll talk more about that in a moment, that there was a clear choice. There was a clear choice. You know, the world or God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was very clear. So his purposes prevailed. Or even think about this. When Cain was so jealously angry with his brother Abel, you know, he wanted to kill him. And God didn't whack Cain. You know, some people think, you know, God's going to just whack somebody.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to do that.
Right.
He just told him, say, hey, Cain, you got sin hanging outside your door.
Right.
Why are you looking so sad? Why don't you do what's right? Right?
Yeah, he did.
Why don't you do what's right? And so Cain thought, I got a choice. Am I going to do what's right, or am I going to kill my brother?
Right.
And he chose. He made a choice, didn't he?
He sure did.
He killed his brother. But he made a choice. God left that choice with him. You know, I'm sure Abel, if he was in the meeting, would thought, like, God,
hello,
you know my brother. He's going to kill me.
Right.
And God's going to say, but my purposes are going to prevail still, because your blood will cry out until the time that I come back. And he says that Abel's blood cries out from the soil today. And all the bloodshed that has happened, every baby that was killed, every murder that was done, you know, every murder that was done, that blood cries out. You know, and that's why we went, by the way, and prayed over murder scenes where blood was spilt, and for that reason. And so God's purposes prevail because his blood still cries out. Or when God called Noah, think about it. He called Noah to tell the people on the earth for like 125 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and every day for 125 years, he said, I have a multiple choice test for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's either yes or no. And he would preach the yes and no, and he'd wait for their answer. I mean, for 125 years, he said there's a choice, because there, and God was allowing, you know, everyone, including Noah and his family, to decide if they were going to follow God's way or not. What were they going to choose? And they continued to walk in evil. Their minds were their minds and their heart were on evil 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But he gave them the choice. For 125 years, he gave them a choice. When they were outside the ark, they chose to be outside the ark. But Noah chose to be inside the ark.
Mm-hmm.
This is so important, because God is pro-choice. He's waiting for you to choose. He's not going to choose for you. He may encourage you with a little calamity, may you lose a little few things.
Right.
You may go through a time of suffering because of your choices. But he's saying to you this. He says, I don't want eternal damnation for you. I don't want you to end up separate from me. Mm-hmm. I want you to be in relationship with me forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think about that. So, but he still allowed everybody to make the decision. So God's purposes prevailed, as he wanted to purge the earth of those who had their minds and hearts set on evil 24 hours a day. And everybody that chose to go with the evil way, his purposes prevailed, because he wanted to start again.
Mm-hmm.
And he started again with Noah. That was his purposes prevailed. People say, I don't know if I'm from Adam and Eve, but think about it. You're definitely from Adam and Eve. But then again, now you're from Noah and his family, right? Because everybody died at the time of the flood.
Right.
So, or think about even God, when God chose Abraham. It wasn't a guarantee. It was not a guarantee that God's promises were going to come to pass in his life. It was an option for him. Get thee up and go, and I'll show you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but God still waited to see if Abraham would believe him, have faith in him, would fear him only. You know what I'm saying? And Abraham did all of these. But most of all, on Mount Moriah, he went there, and he was willing to sacrifice the promise.
Mm-hmm.
He was willing to give up his son, to sacrifice his son. And it was there that God said, you've made a good choice.
Right.
Don't kill the lad. I'll provide for you a sacrifice. But he waited to see if Abraham, what choice he was going to make.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
What choice is he going to make? There's so many people sitting back just thinking the choices have been made already, but you're going to be held accountable not only for the choices that you made, but you're going to be held accountable for every word that you say.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Judged or acquitted based on you know. And so he made that choice then, and this is what God said. God said what he said in the beginning. He goes, now I see you fear me. Now I'll give you everything I said I'll give you. Most people go, what? I thought I had it all along.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, you had choices to make along the way, and you did well. He's the father of faith. He made the choices trusting in God. And it's pretty cool because, you know, God is known as God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jacob's other name after wrestling with God was
Israel.
And so today Israel's around because God, what was God's purposes and why did they prevail? Because he wanted a chosen people. He chose Abraham and he worked through Abraham for his purposes to prevail. And today we're looking at Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel. Why? Because God's purposes prevailed because Abraham made the right choices by faith. So somebody had to make choices all along the way. And when God chose the very first king of Israel,
mm-hmm.
you know, quite often that's why we're talking about this is because, you know, when people read that proverb, they think, oh, you know, it doesn't matter what I say or what I do. It's just going to go God's way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever will be, mm-hmm. That's not necessarily true. I mean, God's purposes will prevail, but if you make a wrong choice, you won't be a part of his prevailing purposes. You know what I'm saying? So when God chose Saul, the very first king of Israel, he told Saul what was expected of him. And let Saul decide if he was going to follow God and his ways. And he gave him the leadership of God's people. And he said, okay, decide. Make some choices here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So God's sitting here leaning over the banister of heaven. Just kind of imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's watching you. He's watching Saul. What's he going to do? What choices are going to make? And God watched King Saul to see what he would do. And King Saul decided not to follow God's way and took matters into his own hands.
Mm-hmm.
This is what God regretted the day. Think about it. He regretted the day, he said, that he ever made Saul king because he failed to seek him and to go after him and do things his way. But his purposes prevailed because he looked and found a man after his own heart, and his purpose wasn't Saul. His purpose was a people to be able to be protected, and that man was David, and he raised up King David, a man after his own heart, and brought him back, and David made the right choices, even though he chose not to lay his hands on God's anointed. He chose to be faithful to the Father. He chose to confront the uncircumcised Philistines and the things that, I mean, he made all the right choices, even though he wasn't perfect. He knew, and he sought the Lord, and he chose good things, and now from his lineage is the prevailing purposes of God, which is Jesus Christ, came from the lineage of David. Listen, you're going to have to make some choices. Today's wisdom, we're talking about, if you don't choose, you know, if you don't make a choice, it's not going to just happen. You're going to have to choose today who you're going to serve.
Right.
But think about it. Father God gave Jesus Christ, his son, a choice to follow him. He had to choose a choice to follow him or not, to be the sacrifice for all sins or not. And then he waited to see what he was going to do. Jesus, although he was all man and all God, he made a choice not to exercise any of his God qualities in regards to calling down legions of angels. And he would just wait for the Father to give him the unction, to be able to do what he wanted to do. He followed the Father. Mm-hmm. And so in that, God just watched. Father mm-hmm. God just watched him and see what he was going to do. But yet God's purposes prevailed. Jesus was tempted in every way. Yet he chose not to sin. It wasn't like a given. I mean, he chose not to sin because even though he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. With loud cries and petitions, he cried out to the one who could save him from himself, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he's making choices. I'm going to turn to the Father. I need help. I'm being tempted. These things are going on. He was tempted in every way, but every time he was tempted, unlike us, you know, unlike us, he said no.
Right.
He made a choice to live a sinless life. And when he could have sinned, he chose not to sin. He made a choice to follow the Father instead and follow his ways. even the point where he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and a huge choice, the final choice was laid before him that was going to change the life as we know it, eternity as we know it, the ability to have a relationship with the creator of the universe or not. He sat there and he sweated drops of blood because there was a choice before him. And the prevailing purposes of God were weighing in the balance. And the question was, would Jesus be a part? Would he make a choice to be a part of the prevailing purposes of God? Would he obey the Father? And he expressed the choice. He said, I would that you would not have to have the choice of drinking this cup of crucifixion and dying. But then he said, you know what? I know what you want. Mm-hmm. So not my choice, but your choice be done, mm-hmm.
right?
Not my will, but your will be done. He chose the will of the Father, the will of God over his own will. That's called the perfect, that's sacrificial life. When you live, when you choose every day to say, I'm not going to be in that wrong relationship. I'm not going to go to that sin anymore. I'm going to turn to the cross. I'm not going to gossip. I'm not going to slander. I'm not going to go the ways of the world. I'm not going to buy into the false doctrines that are just rampant today. You are worshiping God. You're choosing to worship him. And God's prevailing purposes, because Jesus chose this right way, the God's way, that his God's purposes prevailed through Jesus, because he became the righteous sacrifice, making Jesus the only way. I mean, there wouldn't have been a way. Imagine trying to get to a location, but there's no way to get there.
Right.
There's no doors on the room. There's no doors on the house.
Uh-uh.
You know what I'm saying? There's no gate on the fence. You can't get in. I mean, heaven would be horrific if there was no gate to get in heaven.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. and Jesus was that gate. If that wouldn't happen, we'd be knocking on the wall. We wouldn't be there at all.
Mm-mm.
So when it came time for Jesus to be arrested, I'm talking about God's pro-choice. We're talking about his prevailing purposes. We have to understand this, because right now, the church across the world, but definitely the American church, we have a choice to make. We can choose religion. We can choose tradition and just say, whatever will be, will be. And believe me, it won't be good.
Mm-hmm.
Or we can choose to follow God. We can make the everyday choices as we abide with him. Because when it came time for Jesus to be arrested and take this journey to the cross to take on the sins of man, when they arrested him, he chose not to call down legions of angels to stop the arrest and defend. He could have just said, stop,
mm-hmm.
freeze.
Yeah.
But he chose not to. They took him before the high priest and they lied about it. They lied about God. I mean, you're caring all about people lying about you? Get used to it. If they call Jesus Satan, you can choose to follow God even when they're calling you Satan. They took him before the high priest and they lied about him, yet he chose to say nothing in his defense, choosing to entrust his justice, the justice that would be due him to the Father. He didn't even defend himself.
All right.
Every day you have a choice to say, are you going to defend yourself? The second you start defending yourself, you already bit the bait, and it ain't going to be good.
Right.
That's the whole thing. The enemy just wants to get you in a fight.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're coming to you to fight you, that means they already know they've lost. It's
right.
Just like, well, you're here anyway, right? And so, but he chose to say nothing. They punched Jesus in the face. They spit on him, and they took his clothes and gambled over, but he chose to remain silent like a sheep. Listen, like a sheep going to the slaughter. And God's purposes prevailed because he made those choices and he became the Lamb of God.
Mm.
He was like a lamb going to the slaughter who offered up not one defense. And he became, because he chose to lay down his life, he became the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world.
Wow.
These are choices.
Mm-hmm.
They whipped him till his flesh was split. How could this be God's prevailing purposes? And he chose to take every beating. And God's prevailing purposes came to pass. What? By his stripes we were healed.
All right.
You know, if you don't go through something, if you don't follow God through something, you'll never be a source for the next generation. You're going to have to wake up. God's prevailing purposes, yes, are going to prevail, but you have to make a choice whether you're going to be a part of it or not. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's God's purposes that prevail. Get in the purposes of God. He's got a plan to redeem mankind. He's looking for those who will stand in the gap to raise up and say, here I am. Because once Jesus went through the time of learning obedience through what he suffered, he became a source for eternal life. God's looking for people who will become a source under his son, Jesus Christ, who will lead other people to his voice. They pressed a crown of thorns in his head, laid him on a wooden cross, and nailed each hand and his feet to the cross. And then they stood the cross up and crucified him publicly before the world. He chose to be the sacrifice for sin. He made the choice. And when he was hanging on the cross, taking his last breath in this season that he was being crucified, he chose to forgive the ones who were nailing him to the cross and who betrayed him. He said, Father, forgive them. He chose that.
Mm-hmm.
For they know not what they do.
Amazing.
What choices are you making today? What choices are you making? God's purposes prevailed, for it was his sacrifice that made it possible for our sins to be forgiven and for us to be in relationship with God if we choose what Jesus did for us. But we have to choose again.
Sorry.
And as Jesus, upon his death on the cross, went to the depths of hell,
mm-hmm.
he chose to go to the depths of hell, and he took back the keys to death, hell, and the grave.
That's right.
But he never could have done that choice if he wouldn't have made the choice to go to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people are trying to get victory over death, hell, and the grave, but they won't deny themselves.
Right.
They won't make a choice to deny themselves. So that we could spend eternity with the Father forever. The choices that Jesus made allows us to make a choice for Jesus today. Today, right now, the Father has given you a choice. He is a pro-choice God. Not like this world. I'm talking about he wants you to make a choice. And you've been given the ability to make a choice, just like Adam and Eve. The choice he places before you is simple. But it's yours to make. He has placed before you the ability to choose life or death, heaven or hell, forgiveness of all your sin, or eternal consequences for not confessing them. Just like he has, since the day of his creation, has given us an ability to make a choice and waits for us to do it, he will not make the choice for you.
Mm-hmm.
He will not. I don't care how rough your circumstances and what you're going through. You need to ask the question, is there something I'm supposed to be deciding in this? Is there a choice I'm supposed to be making?
Right.
I want to be in the prevailing purposes of God. I don't want to. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's your plans that prevail, Father. Mm-hmm. So do I need to make a different choice here? I mean, there's not, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Ask the question.
Yeah.
America, you're falling to your knees. There's holes in the ship. The ship is going down. It's a good question to ask God right now. Am I making the right choices? Because it will live or it will die, as we know it, based on the choice that you make as the church.
Mm-hmm.
He will not make the choice for you, nor can anyone else make the choice for you. Just tell me what to do. Tell me what to do. Make the choice for me. Nor can you live off someone else's choice. Everybody has to make a choice. Who are you going to serve? Are you going to accept Jesus Christ? It's your choice. He's waiting. He wants you, but you have to decide. All the way from I could go on for hours telling you the choices that he gave men and how many times men have blown it. But because Jesus made the perfect choice, we can choose Jesus, and by his grace and by his mercy, we can make it in.
Mm-hmm.
We can be forgiven. Will you choose to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Will you bow your knee before him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Will you choose to follow him in his ways? All of creation is waiting. What choice are you going to make? If you want to make that choice right now, just do it now. Do it now. He's right near you.
He's seeing if you're going to reach out for him. Say, Father, I want you. Jesus, I need you. I make a choice at this moment. I make a choice at this moment that I want to make you the Lord of my life. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know, but I'm going to begin the journey. Jesus, I'm crying out to you. Father, I want to be with you. I see there's a way I can be in relationship with you through your son, Jesus Christ. And because of your choice to sacrifice him, Father, and because of Jesus' choice to be the sacrifice, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. If you made that choice, let us know. Go to VFNTV.com and let us know. Also, if you need some help understanding or walking through this, go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. And it'll walk you through exactly what just happened and giving you biblical alignment with what's going on and bring you into the family of God. That's meetmyfather.org. What is today's proverb? What's the moment? Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's plans that prevail. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.